My name is Richard Welbury. I'm Professor of Paediatric Dentistry at the University of Glasgow Dental School, and my topic for the Infant and Toddler Forum Study Days is early nutrition and dental health. Well, the term that's used now to describe caries in early infancy is early childhood caries. Other terms that have been used in the past have been nursing bottle caries, nursing bottle syndrome, milk bottle syndrome, baby bottle caries, baby bottle tooth decay, or rampant caries. But the universally accepted term now that's being used worldwide is early childhood caries. Unfortunately, about 44% of all children by the age of 5 in the UK will have some dental decay. And the sad fact is that less than 10% of this decay will actually be treated. With regards to extraction of teeth, some 16% of 5-year-olds in Scotland will have had a tooth extracted, and by 8 years of age, this has risen to 48%. And in fact, in Scotland, tooth extractions is the largest single reason for GA in the paediatric population. So, what's special about early childhood caries? The clinical pattern shows that many teeth are involved, lesions develop rapidly, surfaces are involved that are usually considered of low risk, and usually the lower incisors are relatively protected due to the presence of the submandibular and sublingual salivary glands. In terms of clinical appearance, caries starts with demineralization, which may look like a dull white band around the necks of the teeth. This then proceeds to cavitation and brown or black rims around the necks of the teeth, and specifically the upper incisors are affected. Classically, these then disintegrate and fracture to leave stumps in the mouth. The pattern of early childhood caries, therefore, means that there is a very high treatment need and children are too young for conventional treatment. As we mentioned earlier, this often requires a general anaesthetic. This in turn can lead to an increased dental anxiety and actually difficulty providing conventional care when the child is older. Many children have repeat general anaesthetics, and unfortunately a high number of their parents have had general anaesthetics for tooth extractions in infancy. The causes of caries are multifactorial, but the three main things that I'd like to concentrate on are plaque, the tooth surface, and the diet. Plaque is a soft collection of microorganisms or bugs that reside in the mouth and food debris. It's plaque that we clean off the teeth with our toothbrushes. The tooth surface, I'd like to look at how we can increase the strength of the tooth surface. And thirdly, I'd like to make some comments about the diet, because specifically it's the fermentable carbohydrates and the added sugars that cause the problem, because these are metabolized by the bugs in the mouth to produce acid, which then concentrates within the plaque attached to the teeth. So it would seem that the solution for preventing caries is easy. Good brushing will remove plaque. The use of a twice daily fluoride toothpaste at an appropriate concentration will provide the tooth surface with increased resistance to caries, and a diet that is appropriate and does not contain large amounts of added sugar should reduce the production of acid in the mouth. So with these seemingly three simple things, it's difficult to understand why we have so much caries. So first of all, let's have a look at plaque in regards brushing. Our advice is that you brush twice daily, once after breakfast and after the last food and drink at night. So by brushing away the plaque, you are actually brushing away the microorganisms, the bugs that reside in the mouth, as well as the retained food debris. Two main bugs cause caries: Streptococcus mutans and Lactobacillus. There's some very interesting research which I'd like to share with you regarding the microorganisms. First of all, you may not have been aware that microorganisms colonize an infant's mouth from the mother or the major caregiver. So if the mother or the major caregiver has a high caries rate with high levels of Streptococcus mutans, then there is evidence that their children are more likely to develop caries. The other interesting bit of research from Scandinavia involves the use of xylitol, which is a naturally occurring wood sugar. Xylitol in chewing gum has been shown to reduce caries in children when the chewing gum is used by mothers from 3 to 6 months after the birth of their child. How does xylitol work? Well, first of all, it can't be metabolized by the bugs in the mouth, so the bugs therefore don't produce acid. And secondly, it makes the bug, Streptococcus mutans, less sticky and less adherent, so there are fewer of them in plaque. And the two major bits of research have shown that if mother uses chewing gum appropriately from 6 months to 2 years after birth, then at 5 years, their children have a 70% less caries than controls. So for instance, this is essentially cutting down the maternal child transmission of the bugs in the mouth. The second area that we can help to reduce caries is by strengthening the surface of the enamel of the teeth. And this we do with regular brushing with a fluoridated toothpaste. The current advice in the UK is that children should brush twice daily with a smear of paste containing 1,000 parts per million fluoride from 6 months of age, when the tooth first erupts, up to 3 years. From 3 to 6 years, a pea-sized amount of paste should be used on the brush, and the paste should be of an adult paste concentration, which is 1350 to 1500 parts per million. And from 6 years plus, of course, adult toothpaste should be continued. So the fluoride acts by strengthening the surface enamel and makes it less likely to soften and demineralize in the presence of acid produced by the bugs in the mouth. Children should be registered with a dentist as soon as their first teeth erupt at 6 months. They should have regular checkups, and they should have regular advice with their parents and caregivers about diet and brushing. The third area that we can address with regards to preventing caries is the diet and the fermentable carbohydrates, or the added sugars. Just to reiterate, the problem with these sugars is that they are metabolized by the bugs in the mouth to produce acid, and it is this acidity which then causes the demineralization or softening of the enamel, which then produces caries. So we need to make sure that we choose foods low in added sugars for our infants and toddlers. Foods with added sugars should only be eaten at meal times. So essentially, what we're trying to do is reduce the number of times per day where the acidity of the saliva falls to a low enough level to cause demineralization or softening. In addition, we would advise that only water and plain milk should be given between meals. Drinks from a cup or a glass, with or without a straw, should be advised as soon as possible, and not from a bottle. There are some things we should beware about regarding some baby juices, which may have hidden sugars, The term fruit concentrate often infers a hidden sugar. Sugary medicines, and the parents are the best ones to insist that when medicines are prescribed, these are sugar-free at all time. With regard to snacks, we know that young children need a varied diet to ensure they get all the nutrients for growth and development. And preschool children certainly have small appetites and need to eat regularly with snacks in between. But snacks should be nutritious but low in added sugars to prevent tooth decay. The main harmful snacks with regards to teeth are the soft drinks, the sweets, the chocolate confectionery, the chocolate and cream-filled biscuits, sugar pastries, sugary desserts, highly sweetened cereals, and sugary and sticky yogurts. These sorts of foods should only be eaten at meal times. And acceptable snack foods for snacks between meals.